Welcome back. It's The Drive with Matthew, Jimmy, and Chuck on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 at 92.5.
What is it? What day is it?
It is 2000 and Tuesday.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
It's ESPN Sports Radio 1300 at 92.5.
I don't know. Chuck just... I mean, start off this segment with the boss.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know what to say. I'm indebted to you once again, Chuck.
Oh, it's like, boy. Every day we come in here.
Oh, boy. No, except for...
There's been 2 days.
What did I hate?
Thin Lizzy Thursday.
Yeah,
that. And when we have Metal Monday.
No, that ain't happening. All right. Now, as we've mentioned already, kind of a ridiculous... I don't know if that's the right word. This bombshell kind of agreement with baseball and proposals and all kinds of stuff. So we said, let's call Emilio San Martin, who is an expert on everything. Hi, Emilio.
An expert on everything. I'm going to have to get a tattoo that says that across my arm.
You would need to get that as a chest plate on the front of your chest. I think that would be a good nameplate to have.
Yes, indeed.
Expert on everything, ..
And yeah. I like the sound of it. Gentlemen, how are you today?
We're okay, but before we start with this baseball thing, are we ready, guys?
Oh, yeah.
I think we're ready.
Here we go. Happy belated birthday to you. Happy 38th birthday to you. Pick it up a little, Jimmy.
I assume you're only 38 years old.
Feliz cumpleaños, hermano mío. That's quite possibly the worst happy birthday song ever. Don't you agree?
I thought it was very personalized.
I would have expected, you know, maybe not quite Boys to Men, but it's Boys to Something.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Boys to Trash.
It was
Boys to Garbage.
Somebody changed languages right in the middle.
Yeah, I did. That's right. I did. I like to improv.
Thank you very, very much. That was incredibly kind of you. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
I finally crossed the 21-year-old threshold.
Attaboy. Attaboy. All right. Let's get serious. This is hard for us with you, but this, I woke up, as I do every morning, very early, and I put SportsCenter on, and they are just going bananas over this statement from the Major League Baseball Players Association and Tony Clark, which I said to you in an earlier conversation, the wording of this was just incredibly stupid, I think, at this time. But can you explain to our listeners kind of where this is right now?
Well, the Major League Baseball Players Association is going to receive or has received today a proposal put forth by the individual teams, the individual owners, and it is something that they're not going to like. In fact, it already is something that they're not like. A lot of it has to deal, the first thing, which is basically a non-starter, is going to be the 50-50 revenue sharing split. Tony Clark has referred to it as an attempt by the owners to implement a salary cap, which of course Major League Baseball does not have. And so the players are not going to warm up to that. There are a lot of factors at play here. Back in March of this year, although it may feel like March of
1958. Yeah.
Exactly. They reached towards the latter part of March, the MLB Players Association and the owners of the teams, the league in general, I should say, agreed to a prorated agreement, a deal. If they had not done so, and this would have meant, you know, this is with regard to how the players are going to be paid. Is there going to be service?
For this, and we should say for this season. Right?
For this season. Correct.
Okay.
Just for this season. These are all discussions. This is a deal for this season.
Okay.
It was back in at the end of March. We weren't quite to the level that we are now with the pandemic situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now we are, and here we are May 12th, and we're still kind of up in the air. We don't know what's happening. And during that agreement, the president issued a state of emergency on March 13th. Had he not done so, Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, could have implemented paragraph 11 of the uniform contract, which would have basically suspended all pay for all the players. Mm. The deal stipulated a prorated situation.
Okay.
Benefited them. If we'd had half a season, which is about what this proposal is projecting, an 82-game season, the players would get 50%. Now we are in danger of not getting anything. And if that's the case, there would be the players would still get the service time. The deal from March is still in place. They would get service time for this year, which is something that the players absolutely wanted. And the only money they would get would be a $170 million stipend that is pulled together, set aside for all the team. It's basically an advance on the following season. They still want to get the season together. They still want to have some semblance of a season. And I think it's important that they realize that I know money is a factor here, but the two sides can get together and they can do the right thing. They're both, you know, these are all intelligent people. These are all adults. I know the deal, the initial deal is not going to be what is not what the players want. Mm-hmm. They're not going to accept it. They need to sit back and they need to work out something between the two sides.
Well, and you and I, excuse me, you and I had an earlier conversation today about this where that was the overriding theme was Manfred and Tony Clark or whoever those people need to be. Need to get in a room and lock the door and mm-hmm. just sit down and work this out so that you actually use the term victims. And it's true. Right now, people are going to look at the players, as they often do, because yeah. they're multimillionaires, right. a lot of them, and blame this
yeah, suck it up.
On the
You're
players.
Playing a game.
And that is not really what should happen here. There should be a way for both sides to come out and say, this is the best for this year, this situation, and we can both work with this, right?
Exactly. There's one enemy here, and that's the virus. There's only one bad
right.
side of this, and that's the virus. You know, Major League Baseball Players Association is going to do what they do for the players. That's their job.
Mm-hmm.
MLB, as a league, is going to do what it needs to do for the league. The owners are going to need to do for their respective teams. That's the way it is. But these are all intelligent people. The only enemy is the virus. And unfortunately, the victims are you know, those who are affected by the virus on a more serious nature, the people who are dying, the people who are in the hospitals. Of course, that is an incredibly important, the most important part of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make sure that baseball comes back. It has to be safe. It's a wonderful distraction, one that would be glorious for this country. Baseball, you know, hot dogs and apple pie. Baseball is an incredible part historically for this country. It would be a wonderful diversion for people across the country, not just ourselves. I mean, obviously we're big baseball fans, but there are so many people that would take it as a glorious thing to be able to sit back and distract them from mm-hmm. the troubled times that we are dealing with right now. Major League Baseball and the Players Union have an opportunity to provide America with something really special, but it has to be done the right way. They need to get down. They need to get serious about figuring something out. This can't be a petty squabbling between Clark and the MLBPA and Manfred and the rest of the MLB.
Right.
It can't be that. They need to figure something out. They need to do it safely because that's another issue. I mean, we're talking about the money, and we've only talked about the revenue and the prorated contracts, but there are a lot of factors as well. They've talked about the deal that was posed to the players today discusses playing games in neutral, or I should say in the team's home stadiums where possible and safe. That wasn't what was discussed maybe a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
We're talking about
Phoenix and
only three
yeah.
fans. Yeah. In Arizona and in Texas and in Florida. What about travel restrictions? I mean, if you're talking about home stadium, what about Toronto? Is that going to be an approved stadium? And would they be allowed to even play there? Would any team in their, you know, the new aligned three divisions, would they be able to go there and play? There are a lot of factors that this is, it's wonderful and it's thought out it's wonderful, I should say, that there's at least some sort of proposal and the discussions are ongoing as opposed to just saying, you know what, forget it. There's not going to be a stadium
yeah.
this year. And it may come to that, but at least there are discussions that are being had. They just need to be more serious discussions, and concessions are going to need to be made. And otherwise, we're just not going to have a season.
Right.
Do we think that will actually happen, where they will just sit down and so we don't have this back and forth of the owners approve it on Saturday, and then it will be announced, or, you know, the players will make their decision today, and then they can approve it or deny it. Then again, on Friday, we'll see something else from the owners. Will they actually come together and lock themselves in a room figuratively and figure this out, or is this going to keep going back and forth? And the next thing we know, it's June 20th, and now we're not going to get a season. Like, what do you think is going to happen?
I think ultimately, given the nature of how serious the situation is globally, and I do think that they will sit down. I do think that they will resolve whatever differences they need to have, they need to resolve to be able to have any semblance of a season. I'm a little surprised that they only talked about an 82-game season. I thought for sure they'd shoot for at least 100, you know, maybe 120, and extend the season well into November. You know, finish the season, regular season, in the end of October, and finish in November in neutral domed facilities, domed stadiums because of the winter weather. I do think my answer to your question is, yeah, my gut feeling is that they will figure something out. I will say this much, though, and this is speaking to all the Reds fans, the Reds Nation out there, of which I am a huge member. 1981, there was a strike. The Reds had the best record combined. They split the season, and the Reds got screwed. 1994-95, there was another strike. The Reds were leading their division, and the rest of the season, including the World Series, was canceled.
Yep.
The Reds made a tremendous amount of effort to build a terrific competitive team this year, and here we are staring at another situation where failure to negotiate between the two sides could cost the Reds an opportunity at a terrific season. That is small potatoes compared to what is the real important part here. The money is not the important part. The important part is making sure that if baseball is going to come back, the important part, first of all, is making sure that we get a hold of this virus and save people's lives and protect people, protect the people, not just the baseball players, protect the world. However, if you're focusing just on the smaller element, whether or not there's a baseball season, it needs to be done correctly. It needs to be done unified, in a unified front, and it needs to be done so that the players and anyone who's participating, if there's no fans, then it's just all the people that are going to be in the stadium are treated, have the safety issues addressed that they absolutely need to have. Because some players do have asthma, which puts them in a vulnerable category. Some players, you know, if their families are going to be allowed, their health issues are at risk here. I have multiple sclerosis. I'm in a very vulnerable category. There are players that have asthma. I have that too. I'm surprised I don't spontaneously combust when I step outside my front door any given day. But these are things that need to be addressed. And I'll tell you right now, I mean, I know that the Dr. Fauci and the health experts are expecting another resurgence of the disease of the coronavirus in the fall. Well, you know, as we get closer to that, what happens if a player or a couple of players on a team, in spite of whatever safety precautions they take, get sick? Does it shut down the season immediately?
Yeah,
and these are things that have to be taken into consideration.
Yeah, and aside from all those things, which are the most important things to the players, or at least should be, to the players' union, the most important thing is what the owners are trying to force on them, which is a revenue sharing, basically.
Yes.
A revenue split, which is, to every union around's mind, a salary cap.
Right.
Basically.
It is.
And
that's exactly what the players don't want.
Yeah, and there's no way the MLB Players Union is going to go for it. And Tony Clark came out and basically said that today. Because why should they have to forfeit pay when Major League Baseball's taken a loss but not get the commensurate bump when it has been profitable in the past? And that's, you know, that is the classic age-old, 100-years-old labor versus management. And
right.
That's not going to go away just because of this. I don't think the union has to take the big picture.
No.
If baseball doesn't.
If baseball
they
doesn't,
both have to.
And that is the problem. That is part of the problem that we have here is that, you know, they both have to realize their weaknesses and set aside any desires they have to win this negotiation. They need to find a neutral ground. Mm. And to do that, Tony Clark and the MLBPA is going to have to realize that maybe not a 50-50 split. Maybe they you know, reach a concession, you know, some sort of a deal that allows, and it's just for this season.
Right.
It's not something that's going to extend for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
It's not a new collective bargaining agreement that goes into place for the next, you know,
right,
two decades. This is just for the season. It's,
yeah,
it's a unique set of circumstances. And
well,
to realize that.
And
that's something that's right.
That may be very much why they only put an 82-game schedule and not 100 games, because they know this is not going to be a quick process.
Mm.
No, and that's true. It buys them, you know, unless they magically resolve things in the next week or by the end of this month, you're right. It's very possible that they did the 82-game season and left it open perhaps for to play through October, knowing that maybe they don't resolve something, come to some sort of agreement until the end of June, in which case that maybe the season, an 82-game season, would have to start in March, or
right.
I should say in August.
Right. Here's what I think we should do. We should put you on a Zoom call with Tony Clark and with Manfred and let you work it out, because you could do it. Thanks for joining us today. Stay safe down there. Our love to the cats and happy belated birthday. We love you, Amelia.
I love you guys too. Thank you very, very much. Everybody stay safe, stay healthy, stay inside, and keep thinking positive things.
We will.
Through all of this.
We will.
I'm a Buckeyes fan, so the Buckeyes will be on the field at some point. We'll have these discussions when we get to August and September about football.
There you go.
Yeah, we will. You better believe we will. All right. See ya.
All right, guys. See you.
Okay.
Guys. Bye.
The great Emilio San Martin. All right, when we come back, the great Wick to Well. The great Wick to Well. Two Bugs Bunny things. This is ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
The Drive, brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown.